Okay, our next presenter is Joel Reyes Cabrera, and the title of his presentation is "Elephant Grass Exhibits Higher Biomass Production, Water Use Efficiency, and Less Nitrate Leaching than Bahia Grass."
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. Today I'm going to share with you some of my findings from my study. The title of my presentation is "Elephant Grass Exhibits Higher Biomass Production, Water Use Efficiency, and It Reduces Nitrate Leaching Compared to Bahia Grass." So the justification of this study is that there are federal mandates in place that have promoted the interest for biofuel production from biomass resources. And it is estimated by 2022 there should be at least 136 billion liters of ethanol produced. Ethanol coming from corn has been capped to only supply 48% of that demand, so another crop needs to be used to supply the remaining 58% demand of ethanol by 2022. In the southeastern U.S., elephant grass has shown to be one of the most promising perennial tall grass that is well adapted to the soil and environmental conditions of Florida, well, the southeastern U.S. However, there is poor understanding in terms of the ecosystem services that elephant grass is going to provide when it's extensively cultivated to produce bioenergy. One important component of this increase in interest for bioenergy is that there is an improvement of technologies to convert biomass to biofuel. So if you see here the pointer, biomass can be either fermented or it can be pyrolyzed. Those are two of the most important biomass conversion technology currently being used. Now I wanted to share with you here the importance of ethanol for transportation purposes and bio-oil and syngas to produce energy. However, these two processes also produce bioenergy residuals, in this case fermentation residual, which is a liquid material rich in organic matter and some nutrients, and the famous biochar that is a recalcitrant carbon, full of carbon material that has been shown to have environmental benefits, especially improve the carbon sequestration in the soil. So our question is, if we're going to start increasing the production of lignocellulosic biomass, there's also going to be an increase of these bioenergy residuals. Can we use these materials as a soil amendments, as improvement of our nutrient management practices to produce elephant grass in the southeastern U.S.? What are the limitations? What are the implications of that management practices? We still don't know. So with those key elements in mind, we formulated these objectives, and the first one is quantify above ground biomass accumulation of elephant grass as a bioenergy cropping system compared to existing conventional cropping systems. And the importance of this is that most of the agricultural land in the southeastern U.S. is already being used to cultivate crops. So we are hypothesizing too that there's going to be a shift in land use, and we wanted to understand where it's going to be also the shift in ecosystem services when that happens. The second objective is to quantify and evaluate what's going to happen when we start applying those bioenergy residuals in terms of water dynamics. And the third objective is evaluate the effect on water quality in terms of drainage and in terms of runoff. So a little bit of background of the existing cropping systems in the southeastern U.S. Bahia grass occupies about 2 million hectares of land only in Florida. So it's a potential candidate to be converted to grow bioenergy cropping systems. It's generally managed under low nitrogen inputs and low and minimum irrigation. So you will expect that to keep some level of sustainability in the system, the replacing bioenergy crop will have to be managed in a similar fashion. And like I mentioned before, elephant grass is well adapted to the conditions in southeastern U.S., and biomass, dry biomass has been found to be about up to 40 tons per hectare, which is pretty high and with good management practices. So in order to accomplish our objectives, we designed a randomized complete block design, and those were our treatments. We tested bahia grass with a low nitrogen input, elephant grass with a low nitrogen input, that same elephant grass plus that low nitrogen input and fermentation residual, nitrogen elephant grass, low nitrogen input and biochar, elephant grass and a high nitrogen input. The nitrogen fertilization was done in the spring of each year. This study was conducted for 3 years in northern Florida, where soils are up to 90% sand, very marginal soil conditions. And the way we apply those bioenergy residuals is that we calculated the average biomass production of elephant grass in that area and the current conversion technology efficiency. So that's about 50%, assuming the fiber and the yield of elephant grass. So with that, we calculated 10 tons of fermentation residual that was per hectare that was applied back to the soil, and 8 tons of biochar. And here in this picture, you can see how biochar looks in the field. Now, besides the changing landscape from a pasture such as bahia grass to elephant grass, it's important to understand what kind of changes in water dynamics are going to occur. We also collected data in terms of water inputs and outputs. Irrigation and rainfall was measured with a data logger coupled with a tipping bucket. We collected drainage below the root zone, and we also measured the changes in soil moisture content in a biweekly basis. With that data, we computed and calculated evapotranspiration, crop evapotranspiration for both crop species. This formula is an adaptation of the Allen formula that was published in 1998. We didn't include runoff because our experimental site was pretty flat, and we considered that negligible. So in terms of results, let me walk you through this figure. In the y-axis, you have dry matter accumulation, tons per hectare. On the x-axis, you have the 3 years of the study. What is important to notice here is that this small bar, the red bar, is the bahia grass. Then the other four bars is the elephant grass with the different nutrient management. You can see that across the years, there was a significant increase of biomass accumulation of elephant grass compared to bahia grass, and that was up to 80% more dry matter accumulation. Now, within elephant grass, there is no significant difference, so you can either apply a low nitrogen rate or use the bioenergy residuals or a high end, and you probably achieve the same, within the same ballpark of dry matter accumulation. This is, if you picture a straight line from 2013 to 2015, you can see a decline in elephant grass dry matter accumulation, and that was associated with the senescence, natural senescence of the crop. We didn't replant this, and this is a normal practice, similar to sugarcane. You just let the crop ratoon for the second and the third season. Apparently, biochar was affecting some sort of biomass accumulation the third year, and just a slight increase when you apply 250 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in the third year. If you couple that information with the daily evapotranspiration on the y-axis, daily evapotranspiration, the x-axis, the years, and pretty much the same arrangement of bars, what is important here is that a slightly higher elephant grass evapotranspiration compared to the bahia grass. Now, if you couple this figure with the previous one, you can see a substantial increase of biomass production and a slightly increase of evapotranspiration. So there is most people will associate that a tall grass that is up to 3 meters tall will increase evapotranspiration compared to bahia grass that is a pasture that only grows probably a meter. So, but that wasn't the data. The data didn't show that. So that's an important finding that we are sharing with you. In terms of daily drainage, also the same arrangement of bars for the 3 years. There was a decrease of drainage for elephant grass compared to the bahia grass. And that can be interpreted in both ways. That means that drainage is decreasing, and probably the elephant grass is using that water for support more evapotranspiration. At the same time, it could be a detrimental implication in terms of aquifer recharging, because most of that water can also go migrate downwards and replenish the aquifer in the land. So it can go both ways. It can be interpreted in both ways. In terms of nitrate leaching, most people associate that in order to support this high biomass productivity, you will need to apply large amounts of nitrogen, and there is a high risk for nitrogen escape from the system. But you can see here that the bahia grass actually has more nitrate leaching compared to the elephant grass in all years. Now, in the 2013, when we established the plots, it was a little bit higher, so we assumed that the crop didn't have a well-established root system to capture that nitrogen, but still we were able to find significant difference between the crop species. And it's relatively lower for the other 2 years. So the water use efficiency, which is the kilograms of dry matter per cubic meter of water evapotranspired, condenses the whole information. Like I told you at the beginning of the presentation, the elephant grass produced significantly more biomass per unit of water that was evapotranspired compared to the bahia grass. So in summary, the annual above ground yield of elephant grass was higher than bahia grass, and there was an effect of the natural senescence of the elephant grass in the third year. Elephant grass reduced significantly the nitrate leaching, so that could be interpreted as a benefit of growing elephant grass as an ecosystem service. It's pretty efficient in uptaking that nitrogen. And the third conclusion that we had is that application of biennial residuals can be used as a soil amendment. We didn't see any benefit, neither detriment effect of applying that biennial residual, but if that material becomes available to farmers and there is a market for applying that in terms of carbon sequestration, it could be an interesting opportunity for farmers to apply that. And with that, I want to thank you for attending the presentation. I'll be more than happy to answer any question if you have, if I have time. Thank you. Right. Yeah, the question is, what is the expectation for elephant grass to last? I have seen most studies, it's a trade-off between replanting the crop and the amount of biomass you might get back from that particular season, a particular year. Most of the studies that I have read, they say that they don't recommend going over 4 years. So it gets pretty old and doesn't produce a high level of biomass.